This is Mayor Rick Christman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall podcast. My name is, or broadcast, I guess we're calling it, but it is a podcast. Coming to you from City Hall today, my name is Will Kuntz. I'm host of this here program. Heard on Radio St. Pete. I don't know if we have a time yet that's, like, dedicated, but we're on there.
And Monday, Monday mornings we air?
Monday mornings. I think it airs, like, four times.
Yeah.
So
that's your job, Will. You got to nail down the time.
It's chaos in my life.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. I should be more prepared, I guess. So this can I also put it on my RSS feed too on hmbradio.com. You can get
it there.
Nice.
Yeah,
subscribe to that. Before we start, please vote the Homemade Broadcast for the best podcast by CL Tampa Bay. I'd love to take that home. So folks that are listening, please do that. I appreciate it. You know what? Do we do a cold just intro here? Like, there's no music or anything.
I didn't hear music on the last show. I wanted to hear music.
Can we come up with some music?
Can we all agree
on some music right now?
I'm picturing, like, da-da, like, old school, like, Tonight Show.
Oh, really?
Thing, like, some drum solo.
I was going more like Motorhead.
Ooh, okay. I like that, too.
No, can we go somewhere in the middle?
What would be in the middle?
I don't know.
What's in the middle of
of Tonight Show music?
Kevin's going to make us go like Jimmy Buffett. I'll tell you
no,
that.
No,
right
we're not
now.
Doing that.
Maybe
absolutely.
Actually,
not.
I do have a good idea for an intro. Billy Joel thing.
Billy
I like.
Joel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'll tell Joe. Yeah. We'll get that happening
okay.
next time. So joining me is Ben Kirby and Kevin King here, my co-hosts extraordinaires. What's up with you guys? Anything new since last time I saw you?
I listened to the last already. This. Show is more exciting than the last one we did.
Really?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
And Wayne, we'll introduce Wayne in a second, but our guest today listened to the last show in preference for this, in preparation for this one, and agreed that it was really good in that it was really bad.
Yeah, it takes some time. I didn't listen because I can't listen to myself anymore. I do it in my own head. Constantly, and I can't hear myself anymore, so I don't listen at all to the podcast. I probably should, because like comics will do, they'll like record their sets, and that's how you know you're getting better, if you can tag your stuff. I can't do
but
it
but real a lot of real artists don't like to listen to or watch themselves. Like they'll do a movie, they never see themselves
right.
on screen.
Yep.
And you're kind of that kind of artist.
I agree.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So and I think you're in the top pantheon of artists, really.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yep.
So what's going on with you guys? Anything new in the city this week since the last time we spoke?
We had Hillary Clinton was here.
Hillary Clinton started off the week on Monday.
Talk politics at City Hall, but she's a former first lady, and that was cool. Mayor spoke at that. We've had a lot of rain this week.
Had a lot of rain. We had an important meeting. It's a little complicated. I don't want to take away time from Wayne. But we had an important meeting here last night, the Community Advisory Committee for the South St. Petersburg Community Redevelopment Area kind of recommended to City Council spending the first round of tax dollars in that CRA area in South St. Pete. So it's kind of a big deal. It's a new way of approaching issues in South St. Petersburg.
But see, he's making a rookie mistake, Will.
Oh, brother.
He's referring to what happened last night.
That's right.
When we're not going to be on the air.
Oh, that's right. A rookie mistake.
So people on Monday are going to be thinking Sunday night.
Oh, it was Sunday. No, all right. So it was Tuesday, August 9th. 7th, 8th, 9th. It was last week, listeners.
But all's good at City Hall. Everything's fine. Progress, moving forward.
Nice. I like it. All right. Well, thanks for the quick rundown, guys. It's good to know that everything's working ship shape here. Let's introduce our guest this week. Wayne, you just told me how to say your name, Aetherholt, right?
That's close, yes.
Close enough?
Wayne Aetherholt.
Aetherholt, okay. Welcome to
Thank
the
you.
City Hall
Thanks
broadcast.
So much,
I'm glad you listened to the first one. As you can see, it's a work in progress.
It was
here.
Riveting.
It was.
It was.
We're working on it. See, as I know these guys semi well, but we have to build some sort of rapport, I think. And as we do that, as these continue, they're only going to get better and better.
Yep.
I would assume.
It can only get better.
Absolutely. So tell us about your role here with the city. What do you do?
Director of Cultural Affairs for the city, and Cultural Affairs pretty much touches
a lot of things in St. Petersburg. It's a city that has arts and culture just about around every corner, so it seems like it touches almost everything.
Absolutely. So you got some events coming up pretty soon. New museums coming to this
city? Oh, we've got two new museums that'll be opening in 2018. The first one is the James Museum of Western Art. That will be in the old South Corps building, which was some healthcare organization. It's the large Mediterranean Revival building there at just south of Central. Big block long building. Tom and Mary James have a large collection of Western art, and that will be the home to that collection, which would be a great addition. There are a number of Western art museums around the country, but there's really nothing like that here in the southeastern United
States. Isn't it going to be one of the largest in the country when it's done?
Yes, it certainly will be. Not, I don't think it will be the largest, but it'll be one of the largest ones, and certainly the largest here in the southeast. So that will be opening. And then also the Museum of the American Arts and Crafts Movement, which is opening probably in 2018, that will be at 3rd and 3rd North. That is a private collection from Rudy Ciccarello, and the museum is also privately funded. That's a very, very large project as well. And the American Arts and Crafts Movement is really from the 1920s, when a lot of the bungalows in St. Petersburg were built. The arts and crafts style was very, very popular back then. And so the collection includes furniture and pottery and tapestries and really anything that was part of that particular style. And so it'll be a very, very important museum for St. Petersburg and really for the southeastern United States.
Is that the one? I heard something about the dude that owns Raymond James is like donating his collection.
That's Tom James, and that is the James Museum of Western Art.
Oh, okay, that's the first one you mentioned.
Yes,
gotcha.
Western and wildlife.
Yes.
Yeah.
I read something that St. Petersburg is recognized as a city of the arts. It got some write-ups recently about that.
It seems like those are happening more and more. I think people nationally and internationally are starting to recognize the city as we become more and more known for the arts and for culture. And so there's been a number of those things that have appeared lately.
Was it like Huffington Post or something?
Huffington Post had something. Forbes had something just a couple months ago.
I forget half of them.
These are kind of rolling in all the time.
Yeah.
There's a regular tally on our website of these different publications and websites that recognize us for different things.
Yeah, there was one recently that one of the top 10 cities for outdoor urban art. One of the top 10 cities for craft buyers, all of those types of things.
Yeah, the mural scene has really blown up. The Shine Festival started last year, correct?
Yeah, we started that last year. That was the first time that we had done that, and it's coming up again this year, and there's some regional, national, as well as international artists in that. We got a lot more events for Shine this year than we did last year. We're also doing an intersection at 5th Street and Central. So it'll be the first time an actual asphalt mural is done in the west coast of Florida, and it's being done actually by a St. Petersburg artist who did one in Broward County.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So how does an artist get picked for that? Do you just have to, like, submit a portfolio?
It's a curated show, and a lot of these mural artist, it just depends on their availability. And so the curator, who is Tess Wan, is his name, he will work with the co-curator, Chris Parks, and they will identify artists that they know that would be perfect for the wall. They match the walls with the artists, so there's a process there. But then the artist has also got to be available and willing to come in here and participate in the event, too.
What is it about St. Petersburg that seems so open to artists? Because it seems like Sebastian Coolidge kind of kicked it off with doing the murals, and then all of a sudden it just blew up.
Yeah, and actually, if you go back to 1975, that was when the first outdoor mural was done in St. Petersburg.
Was that the baseball one?
No, it was done actually on a building at 107th Street South, which at that time was known as the Art Center.
I didn't know that.
And it was done by an Eckerd College student. That was the first outdoor mural that appeared in the city. It was kind of a typical 70s rainbow and, you know, that kind of look.
Which means it'll be back in
yeah, it's
we'll
back
see
in
it this year.
At the Shine. Chad Mize is doing the t-shirt with it. Anyway, that was the first mural. But then there was a number of others that started to appear. And Sebastian was one, Derek Donnelly, Jennifer Kosherek, a group of artists that started to do these murals on the backside of the 600 block is the more recent. There have been others since, some even probably 15 years old, that you'll see in the Warehouse Arts District. So they've evolved, and it's really in the last probably 2 to 3 years that they have accelerated considerably. So now we've got so many more. The Morian Arts Center was really the first art center in the Southeast to do an urban art show, and that was probably about 3 or 4 years ago, that really looked at some of these street artists as true artists. It's taken a while, especially here in the South, for some of these artists to really come into their own. But the Morian did that, so that I think helped legitimize some of the street art. But yeah, Sebastian was certainly here. I remember when I was with the Morian Arts Center, Sebastian was the one artist that we'd asked to do the bicycles on Central Avenue, and those are wonderful. I think he's a very, very talented artist. He's got a number of murals around the city.
He is, and I really like his story because he just went and asked somebody to do it. I mean, it's like nobody ever thought of that before. It seems like such an easy thing, but he actually went and just did it.
Yep.
So tell me about the SPF festival that's coming up, SPF 16.
SPF 16, this is its second year. September is typically the slowest month of the year for tourism. It's also a very good month for weather still, even though it's still sometimes rainy. Hotels are not generally full in September, and so rates are very reasonable. So we thought it would be great to have a month-long celebration of the arts in the month of September to help the hotels, the restaurants, all of the independent businesses here in St. Petersburg, and to really package up all of the things that we have in the city and make it available to the residents who are already here, as well as tourists, and give them a reason to come here off-season and really check it out and take a look and see what's going on. So there's over 50 different events that are going on during the month of September. This year there is a focus on family-friendly arts events. There is another week that is visual arts, and then there's another week that's performing arts, and then there's a fourth week that sort of is a conglomeration of all of those things. But it's a great month to be able to celebrate all things that are arts here in St. Petersburg, and there's something for everybody, from Free Museum Day, there's a Central Avenue Solstice, there's exhibits at all of the museums, of course, there's readings, there's plays, the Shine Mural Festival is going on for the first 10 days.
So is that kind of included in the SPF 16?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you go to stpetefest.org, stpetefest.org, lots of information and kind of the mayor's vision here, Wayne's vision, what we're sort of working towards the community is for this to be a signature event for St. Pete, nationwide really, for people to, when they hear SPF or they hear St. Pete Fest, they know September in St. Pete, it's where you go for the arts, and eventually it grows into all sorts of things the way South by Southwest has in Austin. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about it. We're just in this, it's just a baby right now.
So there's big visions, though, so
keep
growing.
Yeah.
It could certainly grow into something that is like a Spoleto or the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that happens in August. One of these larger international festivals, there's no reason that it can't grow into that. There's certainly the local talent is here to be able to do that. And so you plant the seed, and hopefully it grows.
So I kind of was asking about it earlier, but how has the city really reached out to artists to make them more accessible to the city and the city helping them out? What have you guys done to kind of do that? Because it seems like you have done a lot in that respect.
Well, we've done an awful lot. For the first time ever, we've done individual artist grants, and we've done that 2 years now running, where we've provided individual artist grants to individual artists. That's something new. We work with artists all the time. When we were looking for a mayoral type of gift for VIPs, it was an artist that we contracted with.
Yeah.
At every opportunity, we try to involve artists. neighborhood associations. We do neighborhood grants and ways to improve neighborhoods. So our neighborhood services department, if that's what it's, I can't remember if that's what it's called.
Neighborhood affairs.
So when neighborhood affairs is getting doing outreach to neighborhood associations with these mini grants, there's no reason why an artist couldn't be considered to do a mural in a neighborhood as long as it's publicly visible. So we're working with all the different departments and trying to do everything we can to make sure our artists are thriving here. We're working on a buyer's guide to the arts in St. Petersburg. At every opportunity I talk about this school of artists that are here in St. Petersburg, and this is a chance to really come in here as somebody from outside and really do some buying and collecting of art. There's some really talented artists here, and we would like to see some of our artists be very successful and go other places. And many of them have. I've just met with somebody the other day. The kid was at the Memphis Ballet as a performer there. We've got another visual artist who just did an opening out in San Francisco. So if our artists are successful here, I think we'll have a very great and vibrant and creative community. And the city, we're doing everything we can to work with them.
Do you work with Tampa too? Because it seems like some of the artists crossed the bridge.
Tampa. Yeah.
You know who Tampa is.
It's another suburb, just like we would work with any other city around. I happen to live in the city of Gulfport.
What's Gulfport?
Another suburb. That's actually, there's some artists there.
Someone else we know lives in the city of Gulfport.
Yes. Don't look at me.
You traitors.
Will, is it just you and I in St. Pete?
I'm St. Pete, man. Old Northeast.
Wow. The arts, Mayor talks about this all the time. We love baseball. Baseball helped put us on the map, make us major league. The arts is really what put St. Pete on the map. And it's important to keep sort of cultivating that, nurturing it as much as possible. And it went on the map with Wayne. He was one of the people that ushered the arts into St. Pete. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, mid-80s maybe?
It was late 80s.
Late 80s.
One of my first jobs was the first marketing director of the Dalí Museum. And so I'm fresh out of college in Washington, D.C., and I want this to be my home in the United States. And you look around, and it's like there was nothing here. You couldn't buy a sandwich in downtown St. Petersburg to save your life. And here I'm in charge of trying to internationalize the visitors to the Dalí Museum and really put that on the international art map. And I'm looking around, and there's a desolate downtown. I mean, it's just, there was a T-shirt shop out at the pier. I mean, it was horrible here back in 1989. Mm-hmm. And I had met with a tourism agency, and they looked at me like I had 10 heads when I started talking about tourism in a museum. They thought, why would anybody go to downtown St. Petersburg to see this little museum when they could be at the beach? And so very, very early on, I realized you have to sell the destination. And then the individual attractions. And so we set about, we created a little, I'm talking ticky-tacky, dime school kind of marketing back then. Little brochure, this is downtown St. Pete, the heart of the arts. And I included, and we did it on the Dalí Museum's dime. And promoted the Fine Arts Museum, the History Museum, trying to think what else was here back then. Florida Craftsman was here, and the Arts Center. So it's not exactly, this big arts destination, but we kept hammering away that this was the focus, and St. Petersburg had a number of artists. We had the P. Buckley Moss Gallery at the time. So you latch on to what you have. Haslam's bookstore was the largest used bookstore in the Southeast at the time. We had the largest antiques mall in Florida here downtown. So you start to come up with some of this product that sort of matches and appeals to a common denominator in terms of a visitor. So people who had an interest in the arts. And we just kept hammering away at that. We worked on the international market. We printed up our brochures in 7 different languages at the Dalí. When I started, 3% of our visitors were international. When I left there, 45% were international. We worked with every organization, Great Explorations. We worked with Sunken Gardens. We worked with the Dolly Museum was the first, I think, museum that ever had a combination ticket with Disney. Disney never worked with anybody, and this was back in the 90s. We were at the leading edge with the Convention and Visitors Bureau with the international market. So we were very, very active in getting awareness in South America and working with the airlines, and I had worked with an airline prior to that. So I was very familiar with the airline industry, and we just did everything we could to put St. Petersburg on the map. And as things came online, it became easier and easier. And when the Florida International Museum opened up, then the Florida Holocaust Museum opened up, suddenly you started to have enough heft there in terms of your product downtown. We started with the looper, the trolley system. That was started by the museums. And it's still running today. If it wasn't for the museums, that wouldn't be here. And it was a partnership with the city of St. Petersburg at the time. The city donated one of the old trolleys to operate this trolley system to connect all of the museums. So when you're talking to tourists, you can say, wow, we have a trolley system that links all of our museums. And all of our museums back then was four. It sounds kind of small now, but you have to start somewhere. If you don't start somewhere promoting this as an arts destination, you'll never start. So that's when we started it. It was kind of smoke and mirrors.
How did the Dolly end up in St. Petersburg? Were there, did you, like a contest? Not a contest, but you had a bid for it?
It's actually a funny story. It was a couple who owned it, all of the Dolly paintings, Reynolds and Eleanor Morse. Both have since passed, but charming people from Cleveland, Ohio. And they collected all of these paintings. They bought their first one back in the 40s, and they had amassed the largest collection of Dolly paintings in the world. And they wanted to give it to the museum in Cleveland because that's where they were from, and they had two stipulations. The collection had to remain together as a collection, intact. In other words, they didn't want to give it to somebody.
Where did they put this stuff?
They had a factory in Cleveland, in Beechwood, Ohio, and they opened up a wing of their factory, and they called that the Dolly Museum.
Oh, okay.
And so when they were looking for a permanent home for it, they wanted it to stay together, and they wanted a program, an educational program, to promote Dolly and to talk about the artwork. And the Cleveland Museum didn't want it. I think they tried MoMA, and they didn't want it. And Ren was from Denver, and they didn't want it. And so there was an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal that said, U.S. art world dilly-dallies over Dollies. And an attorney here in St. Petersburg, Jim, why the name is escaping me now, Jim.
Go with Jim.
Jim is an attorney here. I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember his name now. But anyway, Jim Martin read the article in the Wall Street Journal and rallied the support of the city. And I think Rick Dodge was still at the city back then. And George Firestone was, I think, in the Secretary of State. And just really got everybody together. A group of people showed the Morses around at potential buildings. And there was one building, which is where it ended up, that they did not particularly show the Morses, but Reynolds Morse saw it in the distance, and it was in the old Bayboro district, which is now the University of South Florida. And, you know, back in those days, nobody ever went there. It was just junky old boats and marine crap, and you know, there was no reason to go there. And there was this horrible square building that was derelict. And Mr. Morse said, well, what about that building? So it turned out that it was
crazy.
Available, and anyway, it
I heard something that they liked St. Pete, had similarities to Dolly's.
It was right on the water because of Dolly.
Yeah.
Dolly was from Catacas and loved that.
Right.
And Figueres, and it was on the water. So they really liked the fact that it was on the water. And there were boats in Bayboro Harbor back then, too.
Right.
There are today, but it's a little bit more organized now.
So what was the deal? Why didn't these other museums want these famous works?
Well, when you take a large collection like that, there's a great responsibility to care for it in perpetuity for a museum. And so you would have to build a wing of the museum to house it. You would need a curator. You would need conservation plan. You would really need to do all of these things and care for it. And they were not willing to endow the collection at the time. They were willing to give it to somebody as long as they took it and kept it together. But It turned out to be quite a good opportunity for St. Petersburg.
So moving on a little bit, I see that there's this public art at the pier. When's the pier supposed to be done? The new one?
2018.
Okay.
Likely the fall of 2018. And we hope that's accurate.
Tentative.
I mean, you know, it is the pier.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And any major public building, there's a percentage that goes to arts, and so there will be an art component there at the pier, at the pier head, as well as in the uplands area.
So what's the plan for the public art there?
Well, the committee is right now getting together and determining what that's going to be.
Wayne's working on a bunch of public art, actually, right now. He's working on... Wayne's like the busiest guy in City Hall or show business.
Yeah, we've got Riviera Bay. There's public art going up there.
Park in the northeast, fire station, police station.
Police station will have some public art. There's the Bronze Birds on Beach Drive. That's public art, too. So the pier will have public art, and the process works that there is a subcommittee of our Public Arts Commission for each particular project, and that committee then vets the art. They decide on the artist and what it's going to be. And so that group is meeting actually biweekly.
So it could be paintings, sculptures, murals?
Yeah, my guess is it's probably not going to be paintings, but because it's outdoors.
Right. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Come on, Will.
Well, it could be inside the pier, right? Come on.
That is true.
I'm not a complete idiot. Yeah,
Will, what would you like to see for artwork at the pier?
I want to see a painting of Kevin King and Ben Kirby embracing nude.
Be careful.
I would love to
see that.
This
is a family.
Let's make it a photograph instead. Let's do some photography.
Everything was going so well up to this point.
I'm going to take it on my iPhone, and we're going to blow it up huge.
That's actually...
We can scratch it off my to-do list, then.
We have had... Wayne will attest. We've had some creative artwork and murals in the city. Nothing quite like that.
No. Yeah. Revolutionary. I have a brilliant mind.
Yeah, no, you do. But there are some things that come in front of us that people say, is that art?
Yes.
Is that appropriate for a mural?
Yeah. All the time.
And sometimes, you know, it's obviously, you know, eye of the beholder, but...
Is there ones in particular? Which one are you talking about?
We had questions about a few over the last couple of years. I mean, the one, the girl and the dog...
Animal rights people on that one.
Yeah, there's some issues there.
There was a question about something off 22nd Street at some point.
And there was another one that Sebastian did that had breasts in it, and that came down.
Really?
So, yeah, that was up for about a day. And I think the building owner actually painted over that.
And then we have, you know, the graffiti occasionally. That's in poor taste. All graffiti is in poor taste.
Yes. No, the murals actually help.
If it's hurting the murals.
Quell the murals. When the murals are up there, there's very, very little graffiti issues with the building.
All right, we're running out of time here, but I do want to talk about...
We're running out of time?
Well, we're doing, a half an hour?
Okay.
Do you want to do 2 hours?
No, this
we
is
can.
Good.
I'll say that's cool.
Somebody brings in the martinis. I'm good.
We should do a happy hour. But we'd have to not do it from City Hall.
Yeah, we got to go to.
Is this
we'd
have to like 10 a.m.
I have to go over to.
No, we'd have to go to our sponsor, one of the
Cycle
craft
Brewing
beer
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I'm down with that. Tell me about the Blue Ocean Film Festival. I know that's here and in Monaco.
Yes, it's held in Monaco. Every other year, and then in St. Petersburg every other year. So it's coming into St. Petersburg November the 10th through the 13th of this year.
So what is it, aimed at something, a particular cause?
It's a film festival, and it's a terrific cause.
Yeah, it's sort of the intersection between the environment and film. So all the films have a bent towards sort of being green, and conservation and
environmental protection.
Environmental protection.
Thinking about the ocean, sea level rise,
plastics in the water.
Yeah, are they documentaries or
documentaries. It's sort of a little bit everything. But we had the first time it was 2014. We did it the first time. We loved it. It's really great to have here. Some big names come in for it.
Jeremy Irons was here last year. It was held in Monterey, California, and it moved to St. Petersburg, which is another nice thing in the city. And we've got a number of other film festivals that go on here, too.
What's the one? Sunscreen?
Sunscreen Film Festival also goes on here. The Tampa Bay Gay and Lesbian International Film Festival, too. Mm-hmm. So at any given day, you turn your head, and there's some kind of arts and cultural related thing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Wayne, thank you very much for coming in. Kevin?
Anything?
Anything with you? Final thoughts, guys.
Final Ben? Thoughts. No, this was a good episode. This is great.
It's getting better.
I think we're getting better. Kevin, do you think we're getting better? No, he doesn't.
You're naturals.
You didn't add a whole lot to this today. I was a little disappointed.
You did fine, Ben.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate that. You know who likes this show?
Who likes it?
My mother.
My mom loves my shows, too.
And said I did great.
So we're popular in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
Where's your mom, Will?
She is in Largo right now.
What's her name?
Karen. Karen
Ward. Say hi to her.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Karen.
Love you very much.
That's another suburb of St. Peter's.
Largo is a suburb of St. Pete. And then Wayne's mom is...
This time of the year, she's in D.C. area.
Yeah. She travels around?
Yeah, she's usually in Naples when it's nice here.
And I haven't met her, but she puts up these pictures, and she looks like a really cool lady.
She is.
She looks hip and cool.
She is. She is. Yeah. She's the best.
And we could do a whole other show, Wayne and his travels, too. Wayne, do you want to plug the blog?
No, I do have a personal travel blog that I try to update when I can. It appears that I'm traveling all sorts of random places, but as I feel like writing about it, I do.
He's an RV enthusiast, which means he has an RV.
I'm an RV enthusiast because I had an experience with on a cruise
bedbugs.
That I didn't particularly care for. Yeah, bedbugs, right. Yes.
Yeah, we've actually exchanged tweets a few weeks ago.
Yes, yes.
I was doing some painting for a little while. I haven't really... I've been so busy with other stuff that it's kind of taken a little bit on the back burner there. But I still have all my stuff. I'm actually... Ooh, I have a question for you. I have a bunch of paint. Let's say I wanted to donate that. Is there anywhere where people could do that? Donate art supplies?
Yeah.
Can I pop in?
Sure.
End Team.
Yeah.
What is it?
A neighborhood team. They paint houses for people in need throughout the city. And the End Team is always in need of paint. We get donations from... some of the big box stores, and we mix a lot of our own paint, but we take paint donations to help people.
Is there a website for that?
I'll connect with you. If you Google End Team St. Pete.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you don't even need to know anything anymore. You can just Google you want.
Yeah.
Google the phrase. That's all
but
you need
Wayne,
to do.
I jumped in. Wayne might have a need for paint.
Oh, no, I do not. No, I'm...
Yep.
All right, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks for tuning
in. Thanks so much, Will.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for tuning in to the City Hall broadcast. Will Kuntz signing off. Kevin, Ben, thank you guys. Till next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall broadcast.